I'm hungrier than a skunk's arsehole.
This week on Isle Tools, death metal from Vetir, a smooth criminal-esque saga from Emma Fugit, and island legend Todd McLean turns grief into something beautiful. Blech. Yes, ready, PEI? Let's get her done! How's she going, Prince Edward Island? I am your host, Adam Michael James, and you are listening to Isle Tunes for the week of October 27th, 2024. Yes, Halloween! Last year, I did do a whole episode dedicated to it. This year, while the original plan was just to do a quick acknowledgement of it, the playlist kinda morphed into something more Halloween-related than not. But I don't question these things, because that's how the muse works. Well, my muse, anyway. So you'll end up with an episode that you can listen to while you light up a jack-o'-lantern and eat candy. I guess I will have to simply eat candy with you in solidarity, particularly chocolate. It has been so mandated. While we're on the subject of Halloween, want to hear something so scary it's cool? Come closer. Closer. And closer. Alright. Isle Tunes has been nominated for a PEI Arts Award. That's right, witches. It's official. Granted, I did nominate the podcast myself.
Are you sure it's legal?
Yes, Sally, it's legal. In fact, self-nomination was encouraged. But I do know that several of you from the island music community also nominated the show, and I am intensely grateful for the hat tips. After all, PEI music is what Isle Tunes is all about, and I really am proud to bring you songs from all the different genres and artists we have here. Looks like I'll find out if the show won on November 7th. So I'll be sure and let y'all know. In the meantime, I already know who I'm going to wear. An original from Valu Village. Now, if we're gonna lean into this Halloween thing at least a little, then we might as well scrape away the cute costumes and candy and cut straight to
death.
There were already lots of commemorations of the dead, going as far back as honoring saints and martyrs in 4th century Rome. This developed into All Hallows Day, and of course Halloween was a shortening of All Hallows Eve. The Fright Night we know has roots in the Gaelic festival of Samhain, during which people would leave food out for the souls of the dead who crossed back into this world. Costumes would be worn to either ward off evil spirits or imitate them. And forget pumpkins, the OG hip thing to do was carve grotesque faces into turnips, which were used to prank people. Betcha didn't know that these Irish and Scottish practices didn't even make their way to England and North America until the early 20th century, and the whole trick-or-treating thing? That's only been around since the 1930s. But back to death. Pretty much everything we do for Halloween can be traced back to it, whether acknowledging it or running from it. So, starting off this episode with some death growls is only most appropriate. That's one of the hallmarks of black metal, an extreme subgenre of metal that includes snarling and shrieking vocals set to fast tempos. But, you say, we don't have anything like that on Prince Edward Island. Says you. Vetir has embraced this style of music with Keegan Joseph and Daniel Hoyt grinding out such recordings at Studio Dimanche in Miscouche. And given the subjects Vetir associates itself with are fantasy and death, do I have to tell ya? Let's kick off this sort of Halloween episode by jacking our jack-o'-lanterns to the whole reason we do any of this stuff on October 31st. Vetir not just broaches death, but a cold death on
Isle Tunes. We'll be right back. debt was paid, or so she thinks. Shots fired, blood spilled as her arm sinks. Gold tooth for tooth, last eye for eye, sunk brick by brick to where he'll lie. She takes a proof of what she's done. Picks it up. She turns to leave. Her first mistake. She's so naive. He doesn't like to leave loose ends with enemies and also friends. He's trigger ready.
Emma, are you okay? So, Emma, are you okay? Are you okay, Emma?
Emma Fugit with a Michael Jackson smooth criminal type saga of a hired gun who gets the gun turned on her. That's The Debt. Paying Up on iTunes. There's not enough info about Ms. Emma for me to tell what year that song was released or if it's attached to an album, but I do know that Emma's also a filmmaker, producing, writing, and directing short films and documentaries. You wouldn't expect this kind of creativity out of someone who runs her own accounting firm, would ya? Surprise! Coming up, Kira Lone is a horseman who isn't headless, Goodell's lament turns harmonious, and Todd McClain twice tackles termination. The before times are full of grave situations. Yeah, I went there. I thought it might be fun to dig into October 31st of previous years. There I go again. Although, as I indicated earlier, Halloween as we know it hasn't even been a thing for a whole century yet. Hey, I can't resist a theme. Here's some ghosts from newspapers past rising up from this week in PEI history. October 31st, 1864. You know, for a time that didn't yet do Halloween, the Daily Examiner ran a poem called Our Lost One, and the first two stanzas go a little something like this. Green drooping boughs wave over our darling's place of rest, and milk-white daisies cover the turf upon her breast. The little birds are singing, the sunbeams sparkle there, and flowers, wildflowers, are flinging their perfume on the air. She sleeps the dreamless slumber, her soul is far away. We miss her from our number, we mourn her night and day. Her place within our bosoms another cannot fill, though on her grave it blossoms, our love must flourish still. Yeah, but they didn't do Halloween back then. October 31st, 1928, the Charlottetown Guardian ran a warning that, quote, any person or persons found committing willful damage to any property in the city on Halloween night, unquote, would be arrested. The notice also noted that the entire police force would be on duty with, quote, a number of cars engaged with plainclothes men to protect the citizens' property, unquote. All this from some trick-or-treating? Nope. Back then, the evening of October 31st was more the territory of teen boys and young men who were given license to get up to mischief, hence the notice. One historian says that treats were offered as bribes so that these pranksters would skip the treaters' houses. Our custom of trick-or-treat has other origins too, but that's one of them. October 31st, 1959. The Guardian reported that a Francis McKay of New Annan broke his ankle in a potato field. Seems he was trying to fix a power takeoff on a potato digger when it somehow shifted into gear and his clothes got caught in the mechanism. It seems even PEI potatoes aren't immune to scary situations. Halloween always sees an influx of zombies, vampires, witches. Hey, I know a thing or two about witches. I have to. I wrote an episode guide plus for the classic supernatural sitcom Bewitched. Perhaps you'd like to hear about it. After which, Isletoons will be right back. Don't fly away. When you watch Bewitched, what do you like to have beside you? A little brother, the neighbors, maybe a little snack. Well, if you're hungry for Bewitched knowledge, what you really ought to have by your side is the Bewitched Continuum.
In living color.
Filled with continuity observations from all 254 episodes, you can impress your friends with what the show got right and wrong. It's changing rules of witchcraft, and how many times Endora called Darren Durwood. Plus, this edition comes with an exclusive spell guide and an in-depth look at Tabitha, Bewitched's short-lived spinoff from 1977. Zap up the Bewitched Continuum in living color on Amazon, along with the original black and white version and Bewitched Continuation's I, Samantha, Take This Mortal Darren and Samantha's 70s, because
it's time you learned about witches.
Hello, hello, this is Hikaru, and you're listening to Isletoons.
Kathmandu It Right, Nepali singer, songwriter, and rapper Notacob on iTunes with his new release, Chaya China. The Cob comes to us from, as you'd expect, that capital of Nepal, and the aspiring producer also likes to infuse his brand of electro R&B with Nepali melodies and lyrics, as well as world music. If that's his first effort, then I predict he will rise above in the PEI music scene like Mount Everest, which is also in Nepal, by the way. This week's interview was so engrossing that I'm hard-pressed to take a carving knife to it like we do to a pumpkin. So I'm going to take the first time and unusual step of running a longer interview and splitting it up over the course of this episode. As I always say, my podcast, my rules. It's good to be king. We did veer away from the Halloween theme with the inclusion of Notacob, and while this next artist's new music also has nothing to do with guising or souling, which are other terms for dressing up in costume, this freshly released album does have to do with death. Let's face it, for all the literal pageantry around Halloween, along with the candy and the partying, death is what the holiday is all about, as in laughing at it. It's a way of actually acknowledging the end of life rather than being afraid of it or pretending it doesn't exist. We either lean into the horror of deathly imagery or lampoon it, but through it, we're still facing our mortality and mortality in general. After all, we all lose people, and one day, people will lose us. Now, this fellow who sat for the Altoons microphones isn't someone I'd associate with anything spooky. In fact, he's a pretty mellow dude. But he has been dealing with the death of his mother, which is one of the toughest losses a person can bear. And being the consummate, multifaceted musician he is, he's taken his grief and made an album out of it, which just came out on Friday. You know who this is. All I have to say is the name Todd McLean, and he's here on Altoons to talk about trials, tribulations, and tributes. Take it, Todd. All right, Altooners, if you don't know who this guy is, you just might have been living under a potato the last couple of decades. He's a musician, obviously, or he wouldn't be here. An author, an environmental advocate. He's been in bands aplenty and gone solo. He's a music teacher, and I know after we stop rolling here, I'm going to catch if we're not picking up my guitar the last couple of years, even though I do still have his handwritten notes. His handwritten lessons, I still got those.
Good.
If it's a day ending in Y, you can pretty much find him on stage jamming with somebody. He's got a new album out, and its title is going to teach a new old word while we're at it. Yep, I've got Todd McLean here in the Altoons Studios, otherwise known as my basement. Todd, I know from personal experience how busy you are, so that's why I all the more appreciate your stopping by here for a chat.
This is an absolute pleasure to be here. I love this setup. This is like...
professional
rockin' basement talk show.
Yeah, exactly. Rockin' basement. I was gonna use that title, but I think somebody else already stole it. Now, full disclosure, so cool. I have known Todd for somewhere around 15 years. I think we met when your awesome wife Savannah was in talks to be the makeup artist for the musical I co-wrote, The Nine Lives of Ella Montgomery. And even then, you were pretty well established in the island music scene. What I'd like to know is, how did it all start? Because there was a time you weren't PEI's go-to guy for all things music.
Wow, great question. I started playing in bands in high school. My first band was called Monolith, and we were full-on, like, grungy, like, you know, fairly heavy, wrote our own tunes, and we won a couple of battles of the bands, like nice. That kind of thing. And then from there, I went to UPEI, got into a band called the Rude Mechanicals. Dennis Ellsworth was the lead singer, and we were going for about 6 years. We had moved to Toronto with that band, and then in 2005, that band split up, and then I moved back to PEI. And then it was around that time that I just started playing with like kind of a number of different people. Like as a multi-instrumentalist, it helps like in the branching out aspect with being able to connect with other artists here in this phenomenal music scene that we have. So yeah, as a saxophone player and keyboard player and guitarist, I was able to, yeah, just have the amazing opportunity to play with other awesome musicians, and yeah, it just kind of went from there. And like, gratitude is always just abounding in me. Like, I just we're just so, so fortunate here. And I know you talk about this frequently on this show, just the abundance of unbelievable music that's
Isn't
here.
Isn't it amazing?
I'm just so grateful to live and work as a musician here.
We're grateful to have you, seriously. And with all the different instruments that you play, that must mean you have a bunch of different inspirations and influences too, depending. Talk about some of those.
Yeah, well, a few of my influences would be, like saxophone-wise, for example. I really got into Van Morrison at kind of an earlier age. He's, of course, most well-known for Brown Eyed Girl, but obviously he's got a huge catalog of music, and saw him live in Toronto, and that was an incredible experience. Just, with his horn section, especially. So, like, as a sax player, I love all those horn lines that he devises. And I love U2, though. For a long time, I was into Wilco in a big way. I love, Foy Vance, I'm listening to a lot these days. And of course, the old kicking it back to, Louis Armstrong, Ella Fitzgerald, Chet Baker. I'm a huge Chet Baker fan. Sonny Rollins as a sax player. I love him. The list goes on.
And as you said, you've been in Rude Mechanicals. There's a bunch of other bands, English Words, Amanda Jackson Band. Probably more that I cannot think of at the moment. It seems that you tend to be less of a solo artist. Is there something that calls you more to making music in a group setting than it does, having just yourself as the front person?
Yeah, definitely. It's the fundamental collaborative aspect of music. When we look back through all the history of music making, it's from the get-go, it's been, a collaboration. It's been people connecting through rhythm and sound, and there's so much that happens in that experience, right, when we share music together. I get so much as far as my own emotional state. I am fed so much with positive energy when I play music with others. It's an amazing experience.
And it's different every time depending on who you're playing with as well. So
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, I do play solo. I don't mind it. It's, it can be great. Sometimes it can be liberating because, you're just basically, flying by the seat of your pants and doing your own thing and you're not adhering to
nobody to answer to.
Yeah. You're making your own tempos for everything, and things can be free that way.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an incomparable experience to be able to dive into a song with another artist or several artists and create something beautiful in sound together. I never take it for granted. And again, just with the phenomenal amount of musicians that are here to have that experience with, why would I not do that, with my days? It's amazing.
Now, if I have my info right, your last solo record was Long John June, right?
Nice.
I've listened to it. Actually, I played it on the show. But so what made you decide to make another album at this time? This Apricity is quite a different tone from Long John June, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It is all instrumental, the CD. So at the time when I did Long John June, that was in 2018. But at the time, I had been thinking about doing a fully instrumental album. I wanted to do an album of Celtic pieces, gospel pieces.
You're like me. It's like, I want to do this project. I want to do that project.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So finally, I got around to doing it, and it did take on a different focus, though, when my mom passed away in March of 2022. When that occurred, I realized I needed to, you know, have this as an expression of grief, really.
And an outlet.
An outlet, yeah, exactly. And so that's exactly what this is. There's several songs on here that are specifically in connection with mom, basically dedications to her. And yeah, and then just like a number of them are kind of songs that I can just sort of express this feeling of grief.
A nod to Todd McLean, that is, talking about his new album, the all-instrumental, all-tribute Apricity, just released on Friday. There's more coming, and in part two, we'll find out what that word means, both in terms of the dictionary and the symbolism with which Todd used it. But first, a quick trip back to non-Halloween symbolism. Try more like barn symbolism, because according to Kira Loane herself, she can often be found in a barn when she's not singing, which has led some to deem her as country can get. She's a Cape Breton native who found her roots in Kilmuir out past the Wim Road in Kings County. I have heard Kira performing the national anthem ahead of Charlottetown Islanders games, which I know because I produce radio broadcasts of those games on Max 93.1, and I think that further cements her status as an Islander. She writes and performs her own music, and here's a ride on one of those songs. With 2023's High Horse, this is Kira Loane on iTunes. Giddy up!
Untack that high horse, getting too big for your britches. Daddy's money won't hold up to all of your wishes. 'Cause I've seen this pattern, girl, and it'll never last. It'll all blow ages like your hidden stash. 'Cause high horses ain't pretty, honey, and neither's your past. Bad decisions catch up with you, you're gonna find out fast. Life can't always be handed to you. They fit just right, and a hand that don't fall down. Do what's right for once in life, and untack that high horse. This ain't my first rodeo, no, I've seen your kind before. But this ain't just an 8-second ride, girl. We're not keeping score. Life's hard on you, it'll bring you down, but it's all in how you play your hand. You can't choose the deck you get, but you gotta understand. The high horses ain't pretty, honey, and neither's your past. Bad decisions catch up with you, you're gonna find out fast. Life can't always be handed to you on silver platter. It'll all come crumbling down, yeah, it's bound to shatter. So find some boots that fit just right, and a hat. Do what's right for once in life, and untack that high horse. You're a hand, no cowgirl. It's all over town, girl. Why don't you just settle down, girl? 'Cause high horses ain't pretty, honey, and neither's your past. Bad decisions catch up with you, you're gonna find out fast. Life can't always be handed to you on silver platter. It'll all come crumbling down, yeah, it's bound to shatter. 'Cause high horses ain't pretty, honey, and neither's your past. Bad decisions catch up with you, you're gonna find out fast. Life can't always be handed to you on silver platter. It'll all come crumbling down, yeah, it's bound to shatter. So find some boots that fit just right, and a hat that don't fall down. When you're ready, saddle up before now. Until
galloping in on a high horse, that's Cure Alone singing about one on Isle Tunes. Still to come, one big, huge, sad motel, one big beg for ease, and part two of my interview with Todd McLean. Not everything going on island stages right now involves ghoulish outfits and hollowed-out turnips, I mean pumpkins, though frankly, any day is a good day for candy. I offer you no tricks, only treats with which to treat yourselves, sonically, via gigs to dig across Prince Edward Island. Today's Sunday, October 27th. It's the Ellen Montgomery Soiree featuring Leo Marjolin at Barachois Inn in Rustico. I'm going to be there, so pop in and say hi. Tuesday, October 29th, Dee Dee Austin is at the Harborfront Theater in Summerside. Wednesday, October 30th, it's the Jack Pine Folk Club featuring the Devil's Punch Bowl and host Shane Pendergast. They are all at the Poorhouse in Charlottetown. Looking into next month, November 1st, Absolute Losers is at the Sportsman's Club in Charlottetown. On November 7th, Irish Mython hits the stage at the Confed Center. November 16th, it's Zebedee and Takeda Takeda with Ocean Charter of Values at Baba's Lounge. November 21st, Absolute Losers are back at the Sportsman's Club in Charlottetown. And November 22nd sees Jeannie and Charles's Hearts in Pieces album launch at the Carriage House at Beaconsfield. Also coming up in November, Behind the Veil, a Lucy Maud experience with Jelaine Molnar, Brielle Ansem, Carly Howell, Alicia Toner, Mike Ross, and Garrett Sherwood. That happens November 15th and 16th, and also November 22nd and 23rd, with additional matinees on the 16th and 23rd. It's all happening at the Harmony House in Hunter River.
Hi, I'm Tamara.
Hi, I'm Loic.
And we're from the Umbrella Collective. And you're listening to Isle Tunes with Adam Michael James.
Looking
Motel 6, more like Motel Minus 6. That's the big sound of Big Huge on Altoons with this cut from their self-titled album of 2015, Motel of Sadness. This quartet was made up of Jeff Wilson on bass, Shane Cody on drums, Mike Burns on guitar, and John Hashem on vocals. Full disclosure, as always, John jammed on guitar for the Altoons theme you hear every week. Though this disc seems to be Big Huge's only album, there is truth in advertising, as their songs have got the dirt of AC/DC and the soul of the South, as their hype promised. If you're gonna celebrate Halloween by immersing in its sadness aspect, why not check into a motel full of it? Now it's the ladies' turn. This is another stretched attempt at making a song fit in Halloween, but surely I'm earning an H for effort. I mean, what's scary about Gadel, the multi-instrumentalist team of Hélène Bergeron, Louise Arsenault, Caroline Bernard, and Samantha Gallant? Nothing, really. In fact, their French-Canadian folk trad is usually pretty joyful. And the translation of Gadel, the Québécois translation anyway, seems to be wild berry or currant. You know, like the red currant wine Diana Berry got hopped up on at Green Gables. The word Gadel also has a connotation meaning feisty female, and I love that in terms of this group. It would seem that Gadel only released one album, their self-titled effort, in 2009, but they've hardly been out of PEI's consciousness considering you can catch them playing Village Musical Acadien every summer and elsewhere. I thought this slower lamentation from that album would kind of fit the more somber themes of Halloween. Oh grand Dieu, quand je suis à mon aise! In English, oh great God, when am I at ease? Some think such ease doesn't come until death. See how that kinda ties in? Kinda? Hey, I tried. More like tried it. One way or the other, it's Gadel on Isletunes.
Thank you. à mon aise. C'est quand je la vois, elle assise auprès de moi. Oh grand Dieu, quand je suis à mon aise, c'est quand je la vois, elle assise auprès de moi. Oh maman, elle venait me souffler un petit mot à l'oreille en me disant qu'elle était partie. Elle me soufflait un petit mot à l'oreille en me disant.
If you please, Begging for Ease with Goodell on Altoons. Yo, there's always more time for Todd of the McLean variety, especially when he drops a new album, which doesn't happen all that often. Not his fault, he's always busy playing and or recording with other artists and bands, plus bestowing his musical knowledge upon Islanders through teaching. How does he keep himself grounded through it all? Hear what Todd does, and hear two of the 12 tracks from his CD titled with the old-timey word he's reviving, What the Hell Does Apricity Mean Anyway? We don't need Merriam-Webster when we've got Todd McLean. I am speaking with one and only Todd McLean, whose new album, Apricity, just came out on Friday. I think you probably know about me that I love words and I'm always intrigued by their origins. Now, admittedly, I had to look Apricity up. What does it mean, and what does it mean to your album?
Yeah, great question. So the word means the warmth of the sun in winter. Hmm. It's an old English word that came about several hundred years ago, and after it was introduced, for whatever reason, it just didn't take hold, I guess, because it's such an obscure, precise thing that people just didn't really use it. But it, Savannah, my wife, discovered it earlier this year, this past winter. She just saw it online, some social media post had used it. Nice. And she said, wow, look at this word. And right away, I was just struck by it. I loved it. And then in getting to the recording of this album, the recording happened in June and beginning of July at Savannah's father's studio, Gordon Belger's studio in Guernsey Cove. And going into the recording of it, I knew, okay, this is going to be an album focused on grief. And that word popped back in my head and I thought, oh my gosh, that would be perfect, because it's like when you're standing outside in the middle of winter, and it's you know, a frigid day, and you, like, it's like minus, you know, whatever, like minus a million. And you think this is just so cold, but then all of a sudden the sun comes out and you've got that glimmer of warmth coming upon you. And it just seems so out of nowhere, almost out of place. That's the feeling of, like, you know, for example, when my mother passed away, it was such a heart-wrenching experience. I fully felt gutted. It was like someone ripped my heart out, and I just could not even fathom going on, like, trying to comprehend the reality of going through life without this person in my life. It just didn't make sense. I had a friend, Roger McPhee, from out Belfast way, and he said, "I wish you a portion of that peace that goes beyond all human understanding." And when I read that, I was struck by it right away, yet in the grip of that just raw grief right away, I just could not even imagine what that would be like feeling peace again in the midst of this. Yet, you know, as time went on, it was an amazing, miraculous thing. I felt some, you know, a bit of peace trickling in, and it was like that warmth from the sun in wintertime. So, yeah. Apricity.
Yeah. Now, yeah, like you said, you recorded over at the Guernsey Cove with Gordon Belcher, who's also his father-in-law, by the way. And you guys just did a show Friday for the album launch. Now, are you planning other shows in support of the album going forward? Or is that going to be, like, that's the big blowout show and that's it?
This was the big blowout show, yeah, in a lot of ways. I'm hoping that I will be involved in Music PEI Week in 2025.
Yeah. Is it too late to nominate this thing?
It is not too late. I'll be...
Ta-da! Album of the year.
Hopefully I'll get a nomination in the instrumental recording category. Who knows? We'll see.
That would be a great nod for your mom, too, wouldn't it?
It would be. It would be wonderful. So we'll see. I hope that I could get maybe a similar group back together. Tim Hamming on keyboards, as I said, Daryl Gallant on bass.
Of course.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
And Gordon on guitar, and then me on saxophone. And I play some piano as well as part of this. So hopefully, yeah, in 2025, we might do a show or two. I don't have anything else planned for this fall as far as, like, another CD. Associated
the spring,
event. But
April, Apricity. You could.
Yes, exactly.
It's an Apricity April or something. I don't know. I'm just blue skying, but
yeah,
some way you could tie that together.
Yes, exactly. I will be performing in two back-to-back nights on... this is November 8th and 9th at Salvador Dali Cafe.
Great spot.
Yeah, playing piano particularly. But who knows, I might have the saxophone there. And I'm doing the blues matinee that weekend as well on Saturday, November 9th with Annette Drapeau Reynolds. And that'll be at the Salvador Dali Cafe. So people could catch me there.
Yeah, maybe a couple of Apricity tracks will be in there.
Well, you never know.
Maybe. Could happen.
Mm-hmm.
It could happen.
Exactly.
And this is what I was getting. Great segue, though, because your calendar is always pretty full.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's full at least with doing stuff that you love. But still, how do you center yourself when you're so busy? I know a lot of us could use advice on that one.
You know what? It's a really important question. I think this is very important for any of us in this, you know, go, go, go world. Like, we're always so to and fro everywhere. And everyone just seems to be so busy. So, like, a key thing for me is I actually need to have, like, a bunch of grounding moments on a day-to-day basis.
I bet.
Yeah. So when I get up in the morning, I actually have, like, at least two or three just sort of like meditative moment things. I will, like, just sort of like ground myself in front of a window. Maybe I'll contemplate what I'm going to be doing through the day, and just think about, you know, how am I going to make people's day better today in some way? What can I do for my community, my local community, my global community on this day to bring some goodness to this world? And being grateful for this life that I have and this home that I have and the people that I have in my life, wishing beauty and goodness and health toward other people. Yeah, I'm very much about this. I do daily prayers as well. And I have like these certain spots around the house where I almost have like sort of like little altar type things. And I'll just like, these are like touchstone things that ground me into what's important in life. And that works for me. Everyone will have different things though, like that works for them. But for me, I've gravitated toward this. And if I didn't have this, I would probably feel just really swept away.
You get lost in the spiral.
Yeah, because I am busy and I play with a lot of different people. I have multiple different like streams of income. Like a lot of people just have, you know, their one job.
Right.
And then that's how they make
their income. You have side hustles upon side hustles. Yeah.
It's like all this different, these different ways that it's the gig economy, right? It really, really helps for me to have these kinds of practices. And I definitely recommend it to anyone, really.
Oh, yeah, especially these days. Especially these days. Yeah. Speaking of these days, your album's coming out. Now, that was a terrible segue. But anyway, this show would not be complete. It sort of worked. Not bad for off the cuff.
Yeah.
But this show would not be complete without, of course, playing something from your new album. You're going to have to play DJ here we're going to pick some songs and you're going to set them up for us. What should we hear? I think we decided on two of them.
Right on. Let's go with the second cut on the album, The Hills of Lorne. It's just a really enchanting Celtic piece that was introduced to me by my uncle Lawson Drake, who is a huge fan of traditional Celtic music.
It's a very Celtic name too.
Lawson Drake. Yes.
Lawson Drake. Here on Isle Tunes.
He's an amazing 94-year-old man who he's the former dean of science from UPEI. Wow. and he's still just going strong.
I love that.
Lives at Whisperwood, and I just am always inspired by this man so much. He's phenomenal, and he suggested this tune to me last year, The Hills of Lorne. And right away when I listened to it, I thought, oh my gosh, I gotta do something with this. Thankfully, it ended up on the CD. And it's a really kind of mystical piece. I hope people enjoy it. It's quite a soothing Celtic melody.
Nice. And then we're gonna hear...
Yeah, we should do...
Caceres?
Caceres, yeah.
Caceres.
This is the name of our cat who passed away in May, and so a couple weeks before he passed away, I was playing piano next to him. He was just laying on the chair in my studio, and that's right near the piano. And so I petted him a little bit, kind of got him purring, and then I thought, I really need to write a piece of music for this amazing being. I haven't done this yet, and he had been sick for a while, and it purely kind of flowed out of me at the keys. And
right then and there?
Yeah, and within about 20 minutes, a half hour, I had composed this piece, and then I went back to him after I had been playing, and he was still purring. So I realized, well, if he gave it the purring stamp of approval, maybe this piece is good enough to go on the CD.
And you guys are going to give the purring stamp of approval to Todd McLean.
Hopefully.
With this, I guess we'll call it an Altoons rock block. Todd, I always and genuinely enjoy any time I get to spend with you.
Well, I need to say bravo to you here on Altoons for all that you do in support of our music community.
Thank
you. Adam Michael James, this is a spectacular platform to showcase the phenomenal amount of music that we have here and the passion that you put into this. Your enthusiasm is really infectious, and
I was gonna say your energy and kindness is infectious, so we're both infected.
Both infected in a post-pandemic world.
Guilty as charged. Thanks so much for coming by today.
An absolute pleasure.
And talking to you and your new record. This is awesome. And now, as promised, we're going to do two, because one is just not good enough here. So we're going to do two, The Hills of Lorne and Caceres, Osi, from Todd McLean on Altoons. And I guess this will function as an
Altoons Rock Log.
Thank you.
If one Apricity is good, two is better. Apricity being the title of Todd McLean's album, which you just heard from, those are the tracks The Hills of Lorne and Caseres, the latter of which was a lilting love letter to his beloved and recently departed Kitty. Apricity Kitty, I like it. And Todd, I know your mom would be honored that you recorded this album for her. Well, well, well.
Halloween is over, mummy.
Thank you, Samantha from Bewitched. And I guess that means all my endeavors to shoehorn this week's song titles and themes into Halloween are over, too. But you know, Christmas is coming, if the first salvos of holiday commercial bombardment is any indication. Who knows what I'll do then? In the meantime, Isletunes is over for another week, though it started with an Islanderism from Jackie Robichaux, albeit processed to all hell. Want to hear yourself begin an episode, albeit non-processed? Send a recording of yourself uttering an island saying to amj@isletunes.ca or leave it on a message on 902-807-4250. Those are also ways you can leave requests, comments, and or suggestions. If you like what you're hearing, and why wouldn't you, Isletunes is now PEI Arts Award nominated, you can help produce this show by becoming a Patreon subscriber for $5 a month, of course at patreon.com/isletunes, or if commitment isn't your thing, you can just donate through PayPal. The link is in the description and also on isletunes.ca. That's where I also provide links to where you can buy the music you hear on the podcast, and I do additionally post those links on Isletunes' Facebook and Instagram pages. Whether or not you want to spend any money, you can help spread the gospel of Isletunes simply by posting about it and telling your friends and family about it IRL. For further legitimacy, you can tell them that, I don't know, Isletunes is now PEI Arts Award nominated? Musical contribution to the Isletunes theme by Kaylin McCauley and John Hashem. Show concept by Rocky O'Neill. Coordination assistance by Jackie Robichaux. I'm Adam Michael James, and that's 61 episodes down. Who knows how many to go? I do know, judging by the sheer volume and range of music coming out of this smallest of Canadian provinces, that if I played you all of it, we could be here for years. But next week, we return Halloween and its associated spirits back to the other world. And in their place, do I dare jinx it? For I have someone scheduled that's, well, it won't exactly be a shift from Halloween to St. Patrick's Day, but I do think there might be a little Irish in it. Or a lot. You'll soon see or hear. Until then, it behooves you to be good. And if you can't be good at it. See you in a week, and thanks for listening, PEI.
Happy Halloween.
Oh, yes.